Hey everyone, welcome to part 4 of the Enemies of Man series. I apologize for not making a video in almost a week, I've just been sick. I'm over the hump now, but I'm not at 100%. And because there was so much time between my last video and this video, I had to go through the comments manually and look for the comments I wanted to respond to because they weren't fresh in my mind anymore. Now the benefit of that is I can actually attribute the quotes to the person who said them because I had to copy-paste them into a Word document, as opposed to just remembering, kind of because it was fresh in my mind, the comments that caught my attention. So I'm actually going to read the comment from the person who wrote it and then respond to it. And I'm probably responded to it in the comment section itself, but I want to do this in a video format as well, elaborate a bit. So the first comment comes from Marcus from the Groundwork for the Metaphysics of MGTOW channel. Highly recommend, by the way. He writes, "This is a problem of identity. A man used to ground his worth in relation to God. Absent God, he seeks a substitute. His worth may be grounded in power, wealth, or pussy. As most men don't aspire to power or wealth, they seem to default to pussy. However, a grounding of worth as something internal is not really possible because you have nothing to compare it against to know where you stand. Wisdom can act as a grounding of worth, but that too is external, as you are comparing your standing of yourself temporarily distributed against knowledge. As in, you see you are more learned than you were in the past. Virtue would be grounding in worth, not some subjective notion of virtue, but an objective comparison against the forms of courage, justice, temperance, prudence, and wisdom. Though these are supposedly internal measures of worth, they are in fact the use of external scale," unquote. So what Marcus is essentially saying is that while you can strive to have internal validation, you inevitably have an external standard, and I agree. And I don't see a problem with an external standard as long as you are the only arbiter of where you stand on that standard. I mean, if you're a religious person, you have, you know, the commandments or whatever of your religion, you can measure where you stand in that external standard, but you would be the only one validating where you stand. You wouldn't seek validation from others. You would know how good you are. What's bad is when you use external validation, you require other people to acknowledge where you fit on that standard. We inevitably will have an external standard that we hold ourselves to, but we can be the only judge. We can have an internal sense of validation where we don't care what other people think about us. I mean, to use a very basic example, imagine you were really overweight and you started working out and dieting and you went from 400 pounds to 300 pounds. Now you're still morbidly obese. People are still going to look and stare at you. However, losing 100 pounds, going from 400 to 300, you know how huge that was. You would understand that you are making these positive steps. You would look at where you were, you look at where you are, you look at where you want to be. And you would use that to validate your progress. Because if you used external validation, you would see the people pointing and laughing at you because you're fat, and you would feel down and you would feel depressed and you would want to give up, even though you lost 100 pounds, because you're still not healthy. I mean, when it comes to external validation, you're going to either measure up or you're not. Now, if you're making good progress and you're proud of the progress you made, then be happy for yourself. If other people think you should be farther along, fuck them. You know how much effort you're putting in. Now, if you're not giving it your best effort, you know that. And then you can put more effort if you think making that progress is important. But don't do it because somebody else told you to. Do it because you want to reach that goal. And that is the difference between external and internal validation. You are your only judge when you have internal validation, even if you have an external standard. The next comment comes from Cheeky Bastard, who writes, "I want you to do a follow-up video about self-esteem. Self-actualization and sense of self cannot come without self-esteem. Feeling good about yourself and your achievements gives you power to take pride in the way you live your life and largest hurdles for men's self-actualization. Consider Maslow's hierarchy of needs," unquote. So I've talked about self-actualization in quite a few videos. Now, I don't like the term self-esteem, and not because it's not accurate, but because it's thrown around so much in the wrong circles. I mean, when you think about self-esteem, you're thinking about this touchy-feely, you know, making kids feel good about themselves regardless of effort bullshit. This whole everybody gets a trophy, nobody can be criticized, you can't write their F in red ink, you have to write it in purple ink. In fact, don't even give them an F, just tell them they're special snowflakes, and that's self-esteem. And it's just ruined kids. Because their whole life they've had smoke blown up their ass, being told how special they are and how talented they are, and they never were. And that's the problem with self-esteem. It's not tied to anything. If everybody gets a participation trophy doesn't mean anything. A trophy only means something when it required effort to earn, when everybody didn't get one, when only one person got one, when the best person got one. Then that trophy means something. But when everybody gets a trophy, it's just a piece of plastic. Who gives a shit? So I don't like the word self-esteem. But obviously you can't have a sense of internal validation or self-actualization without esteeming yourself. But I prefer the term confidence. Now, I did a video about arrogance because people who have confidence are accused of being arrogant. Not because they actually are arrogant, but because people who lack confidence see somebody with confidence who acts confidently, they interpret that as arrogance. And because they're retarded. I mean, what can I say? All right, the next comment comes from the Happy MGTOW, who writes, "This is the kind of stuff we really need. The only woman I ever had a serious relationship with criticized me years later and said my problem was my ego. Interestingly enough, she meant the exact opposite of what you mean, that I was a strong individual and very little she could hook into and manipulate. I now realize that even this was an attempt on her part to shame me based on my self-image of being unshameable. Everyone is shameable, and we have to forever be vigilant. There's always some residual self-image," unquote. Now, I really like this story that he tells about, you know, his girlfriend who tried to shame him because he wasn't shameable by saying that he had a big ego. And I get this all the time. I get told how I'm arrogant, how I always have to be right, and all this other stuff. Like, people have actually said, "Oh, you just always have to be right, don't you? Because I'm right." They're trying to shame me for being right. And I don't have to always be right, but I tend to be right. And I assume I'm right unless I'm proven wrong. So if you can't prove me wrong, I'm just going to work off the assumption that I'm right. And then they turn around and try to shame me, like, "Oh, you just always think you're right, don't you? You have a big ego." Whatever. It's just sour grape. These are people who just have no other ammo in their gun. They lost the argument or they don't have any evidence on their side, so they just resort to name-calling and shaming. And obviously, when you're a woman and you're trying to manipulate someone bigger, stronger, and smarter than you, you don't have too many weapons at your disposal. Shame is just one of the basic weapons that women use. And when you're unshameable, they'll try to shame you for being unshameable. I mean, what else can they do? So the important thing is, just, you know, whatever, don't give a shit. And that leads me to Warhorse's comment, who says, quote, "Be humble and assertive when you need to be. Working on one's ego can be difficult, but gets easier with age and experience. You tend to grow a thicker skin with an I don't give a shit attitude," unquote. I agree. I completely agree. Not giving a shit is the secret to a happy life. When you stop giving a shit about people and what they think and all this other shit, the less things you care about, the less things you give a shit about, the happier you will be in life. People come to that realization in different ways, and I don't recommend my way to anyone, but what helped me reach that realization was going to war. So I was in Iraq, and there was a shit going on. Like, you know, we were getting mortared and people were dying. And the thing is once you go through that, you start thinking about all the dumb shit that you got all worked up over, and you realize it just does not matter. There's so little in life worth getting worked up over. I mean, just think about all the dumb shit that gets to you on a daily basis. 99% of it is not worth getting worked up over. It's just dumb shit. So it took going to a war zone and seeing people die to realize that most things in life aren't worth giving a shit over. Now, hopefully it doesn't take that to help you reach that realization, but whatever helps you reach that realization, you will be happier going forward from that day. Because you realize most things in life are just not worth getting upset over. Now, this next comment isn't directly in response to my video. It was actually posted in response to another comment where someone was saying that my video sucked. So this is from Garlic Zoolander, and he writes, quote, "This video isn't TFM's best work. His intention is to give men power through knowledge, but he doesn't know how men can bring their ego under control and not make life-changing decisions based on meaningless reputation. This is the wrong approach, however. Male ego is defined by the male peer group. It's what remains after other men have defeated through argument or demonstration the beliefs and failed strategies of any given man. The reason that men sacrifice themselves for women is because other men tell them to. Imagine two or more men at a bar talking about a situation. What would they do if they were going through it? They talk about strategies, winning arguments, and behaviors, how certain actions within the context of a situation would exemplify why their perspective and behavioral strategies are successful towards the end of achieving some established goal. In short, it is not male ego that is the enemy, but that male peer groups have betrayed their members through upholding strategies which are doomed to failure," unquote. So I think I understand where he's coming from. So he's talking about peer pressure. And the thing about peer pressure, it's a form of manipulation using ego, looked down upon by the people in your peer group. So they can manipulate you into going along with dumb shit by appealing to your ego, by calling you a pussy or whatever. Whatever slur or name will get your goat and will get you to do what they want. And these are your friends. These are other men doing this to you. So you have women manipulating you with shame and ego, and you have men manipulating you with shame and ego. So it never ends. Now, I don't look at this as this is the true manipulation or this is the true. It's all the same thing. The reason why people are susceptible to manipulation is through their ego. When your friends, quote unquote, call you a pussy faggot and get you to do something that you don't really want to do, but you do it because you don't want them to make fun of you, that's ego. That's external validation. You want them to say, oh yeah, boy, you're awesome, you did the thing. Or, ooh, you're a faggot, you didn't do the thing. You want them to validate you. That sense of external validation causes you to be manipulated. Now, what's the alternative? You tell your friends to fuck off, you don't want to do it. And if they tried to pressure you to do it, they're not really your friends. And you go tell them to go fuck off again, and then you walk away. But can you do that? I mean, that's a real question. Can you do that? If you have a group of friends you've been close to for years and they try to manipulate you, you know, do you have the balls to stand up to them? Are you worried about risking your relationship? Not just with your friends or men, women, anybody. Anybody who can manipulate you with an ego because you have that external sense of validation through that relationship with them. Are you willing to give that up to stand up for yourself? If the answer is no, then you're going to be manipulated. If the answer is yes, either two things will happen. Either they'll try to manipulate you, you'll stand up for yourself and walk away, and that'll be the end of the relationship. Or they'll realize that you're not going to be manipulated, and they'll respect you for it. Kind of like a shit test with a woman, except, you know, with your friends or whatever relationship we're talking about. All right, the next comment comes from L. Rommel. He says, quote, shaming men by appealing to their external sense of validation. Why do I keep thinking of the Order of the White Feather, which publicly shamed men by presenting them with white feathers so they go and listen to military during World War I? I guess female nation never changes, but they will keep getting away with it. So, again, a great example. I didn't even think about this. I probably should have brought it up. Yes, the Order of the White Feather. There's been several videos about this. Anyway, in case you didn't know, during World War I, there wasn't a draft. So they had to get men to enlist voluntarily. And so because men didn't want to go die in a useless war where they stood to gain nothing, they had a bunch of women, feminist women, hand out white feathers to men who wouldn't enlist or hadn't enlisted. And they were giving them to boys, they were giving it to men with injuries who wouldn't even be fit for military service, and there were several men who killed themselves from the shame of feminists giving them white feathers. Just these random women handing out feathers and calling you a coward, and that would affect you so much that you would enlist in the military and go die in a war or kill yourself to avoid the shame of women handing you a feather. Obviously there was a different society back then and community was more important. That validation from the community was much more important. I mean, if a bunch of feminists were handing out feathers, like, okay, you need to go die in this war for me. Here's a feather. You're a coward. I'd be like, whatever. I'd make like a little Indian headdress and go all the way down to my feet. I don't give a shit. Give me all the white feathers. I'll make a duck suit. I'll be a college mascot. The next comment is from Metalon, who writes, quote, your external persona is not your real self. Many people mistake their outer persona for their real self, and that really amazes them when their ego gets damaged because of that incoherence. They didn't try to connect to their real self and instead spent their time developing the outer shell. And that's pretty normal in society, where it's all about appearances rather than anything innate and internal. You can't put a sponge into a cup of water and expect to pull it out dry. We're all infected, maybe do a piece on self-hate, unquote. So I think this is an important point to make. An aspect of ego is the person you present to others, the mask you wear in public. Now, obviously, you're going to act differently, you know, at work or church or, you know, different social settings. But do you have a different persona that you actually interact with in relationships? And that's the real test. Are you a different person with people than you really are? Now, if there is a disconnect, you have to ask yourself, why is there a disconnect? Most likely, and this is just me just speculating, if you have a persona that you play in relationships with other people, I almost guarantee it has to do with external validation. You're worried that if you're yourself with these people in these relationships, whether they're friends or women or whatever, if you're yourself, they're going to reject you. And so you put on this front, this persona. You act like someone you're not because you want their approval. That is ego. And that can be manipulated. And also, it's not even fulfilling. Like, if you have to pretend to be someone for someone to like you, I mean, I guess if you're really lonely and you just want some human interaction, but I mean, why not just be yourself? So your relationships become work. You have to maintain this persona. Why? Now, if you don't like something about yourself, if you like to be someone else, then make changes in your life to make those changes become a reality. Change who you are and become the person you want to be, but don't pretend to be someone you're not just to get that external validation, because it's just going to make you hate yourself even more. So I don't know if that counts as a video on self-hate, but there, that's really, I don't have much more to say on the subject. And the last comment I'm going to make, and there were other comments, I couldn't find them. I don't know if they were deleted or they just got buried. I do apologize. Again, I was sick. It took me a while to get around to this video. But the last comment I'm going to respond to is from Vagabond Soul. And he writes, quote, "Ego has one more problem. It is the key to your identity. What is external validation, really? It is others confirming your impression of yourself. Thus, those who have a strong ego by definition will have a large and complicated definition of themselves. The more things you identify with, the easier it becomes to offend you. Another corollary to this is that once we identify with something, whenever we're faced with information that is detrimental to that, our mind will try to block it out, leading to cognitive dissonance. This is why you get super evangelical religious people who are extremely rational when it comes to everything other than their religion. So it is important that to shed your ego, you must minimize your identifications. Try not to register things, experiences, people, etc. as me and mine. As a rule of thumb, if words can offend you, you have an ego." End quote. I agree with that. I have seen what he's talking about, this cognitive dissonance, where people have some belief and they're very rational until you question that thing, and then they go fucking retard mode instantly. I mean, the perfect example, you look at all these, you know, these channels, these skeptic channels, now they're attacking MGTOW all of a sudden. Whatever. Did they run out of feminists to make fun of? But anyway, so they're very logical and rational when they debunk Christianity. So they do all these videos, hours and hours of videos, making fun of how stupid religious people are for their religious beliefs and how the science and everything is on their side, right? Okay, fair enough. But then you talk about egalitarianism, gender equality. Are men and women equal? They're like, oh, of course men are. No, they're not. Prove it scientifically, men and women are equal. They're fucking not. There's sexual dimorphism. There's IQ differences. There's muscle differences. The sexes are not equal. There's no way you can prove the sexes are equal because we are a sexually dimorphic species. But then all these tools they use to attack religion go right out the window when you talk about egalitarianism. Because they can't prove egalitarianism using logic, reason, and evidence, because there isn't any. In fact, egalitarianism runs contrary to all the available evidence. You can't argue that they're equal. You can't argue that they should be treated equally. They're too different to be treated equally. But if you try to have that conversation with the skeptic, all these great scientific minds, they can't argue using science. They turn to belief. They'll attack you're a bad person. Oh, you're a sexist. You're a misogynist. Now, they sound exactly like these Christians that they make fun of, you know, saying, oh, you're going to go to hell. You're making baby Jesus cry. So they're fucking hypocrites. Now, why do they have this blind spot? Why can they be so objective when it comes to creationism and religion, and so blind when it comes to egalitarianism? Well, the thing is it's just their identity. They identify as an egalitarian, but not a Christian. And it takes a shedding of the ego, for lack of a better term, to see the inconsistencies in your own ideologies and in your own identity. I mean, just think of what it takes to step out of yourself and look at yourself objectively and see the inconsistencies in yourself. I mean, it's almost impossible. This is why psychiatrists and psychologists have jobs, because people can't see into themselves like a third person could. They need someone else to help them see, because they're too close to the problem. And that problem is their ego. But hopefully, and again, maybe I didn't make this clear enough, but let me just repeat this. I'm not saying the ego is bad. You have to have a sense of ego, because that's your sense of identity. None of the instincts that I'm talking about in this series are evil or bad or need to be gotten rid of completely, but they do need to be understood. Remember the Sun Tzu quote, "If you know yourself and know your enemy, you'll win every battle." So we talk a lot about female nature and gynocentrism, but we need to understand ourselves. We need to understand male nature and the instincts within us that can lead to our downfall. Not because they're evil. Not because we can or even should try to purge ourselves from them. But because if we don't understand them, we won't know ourselves. And then we won't win. So that's it for ego. And the next video is something I know you're all looking forward to. We're going to be talking about the male sex drive, the last enemy of man. So, thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.